Good morning. And I say good morning because I'm recording this. It is now 5:14 a.m. and I've already been up for an hour. I started training again this week, and for some reason when I start training, I can't sleep. So the good thing is getting exercise out of the way early in the morning. The bad thing is I can't sleep. Yeah, well, got a lot of cruise weight to lose. So let me get right to it. This week I had someone on Twitter say, I used to listen to your podcast, but I don't listen anymore because you talk about Trump too much. And that has been a narrative, as regular listeners know. And as I replied to him, I think I talk about Trump too much. I'm tired of talking about Trump, but how can you not? I don't know. It's, for one thing, the number one word, now this is no scientific study, but it seems to me the number one word that follows the word Trump is false. Trump false this, Trump falsely that, Trump, you know, just in the past couple of weeks, what do you have? Trump accused Barack Obama of wiretapping, false. Trump said he inherited a bad economy. False. The economy's doing okay. Sweden was attacked. The Swedes were like, what? When? We didn't know about it, and we were here. False. My hands are normal sized. Sure they are, Donald. Sure they are. False. And on and on. So how do you not talk about that? How do you not talk about a president whose number one form of communication is Twitter? How do you not talk about a president who's already spent more on his trips to Mar-a-Lago than Barack Obama or any other president spends in a year? You know, so you have all of these things. And I don't know if this guy who's blowing me off, and God bless him, it's his right. I don't, you know, I have no animosity toward this guy. I just found it interesting. But I don't know if he's a Trump supporter or if he's politically neutral or what. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I don't know who's politically neutral anymore. We are living in a different age. Even young people, and when I say young, I did Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me this week. By the way, first time the episode was hosted by a woman, Jesse Klein, guest hosted for Peter Sagal. She was fantastic. The show was really fun. I did it with Adam Felber and Helen Hung. Helen, I love because her enthusiasm is fantastic and infectious, and she's very funny. Adam is one of the writers for Bill Maher, and they took the week off. The show took the week off, and Adam, you know, you talk about Trump news, he's buried in it, and those of us who can like to take a break from it, but he can't. It's his job to be in it all the time. So we were talking about this, and Jesse brought up, this is off air after the show we were talking, Jesse brought up an interesting point. She said, should or do, like me, I'm liberal city guy, right? Grew up in New York, live in LA. And yeah, I'm one of them Hollywood liberals. You know, we ain't no good. Should we get guns? I don't know. But anyway, sorry. Should we engage the Trump supporter? I'm painting with a broad brush, and I'm not going to say that this was Jesse painting with a broad brush. I'm going to say I'm painting with a broad brush, that mysterious white, middle of the country, unemployed guy who they, you know, that they say got lumped into the basket of deplorables, and that's why Hillary Clinton lost, and so on. And you know something? I say no. I can't engage anymore. I think that the Democrats, I think the Obama administration, I think liberal people, more open-minded people have reached out far enough and often enough. And the right wing, whether you agree or disagree with them, and I don't agree with their ideology, but I am impressed by their tactics. They do not compromise. They do not waver. They keep things simple. You know, they pick a narrative and they all stick to one narrative. Liberals are trying to eliminate the Second Amendment. It's not true. Nobody's coming to, you know, Barack Obama had 8 years. He never went to your house to get your gun, but they kept them scared of that for 8 years. The all immigrants are, all Mexican immigrants are criminals and drug dealers. Not true, but that fear works, and it's a single message. Planned Parenthood kills babies. No, Planned Parenthood provides women's health care. for the most part. And as a matter of fact, Planned Parenthood doesn't and can't pay for abortions because they're not legally, they're not allowed to use federal money to pay for abortion. But that's so, you know, and don't get me started on racism because I'm going to go into that in a minute. So no, I don't believe in engaging or trying to engage. It's like, look, they've shown no willingness to compromise. What's going on now? Destruction of healthcare. Let's just wipe it out. You have a new plan? Nope. Like, be rich. Be rich. I said it on the Wait, I'll say it again. When 50 Cent said, get rich or die trying, he wasn't proposing a healthcare plan, but I guess he was. So I'm not into now. She brought up a point. Jesse brought up a point that there are people who are going to vote in the next election who are 14 right now, right? Because they're going to be 18. So if you engage, if you try to reach out, you know, you're not going to convert the dyed in the wool right wing Trump supporter, et cetera. But maybe you can open the minds of some of the younger people or this or that. I don't know. But I haven't seen any evidence of willingness to compromise or willingness to listen. Young people. Well, you know, you had the Bernie supporters, right? And that was a big problem with the Democrats, the Democratic machine, not reaching out, not engaging the Bernie supporters. But if there are young right-wing people in the middle of the country or in the deep South, are you going to engage them? What are you going to say that's going to make them say, yeah, maybe I'll switch. I don't know. I know that politicians aren't going to be interested in the issues of 14-year-olds. Politicians are going to be more interested in the issues of 60-year-olds because 60-plus people vote, you know. So I think we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think that I don't even imagine the issues if you're 14. And I'm not making fun of them, but really, I would imagine that access to technology would be a big issue, right? Like things like Wi-Fi and so on. I would think the environment would be a big issue because that's going to affect them. And immigration and a global economy, I think that would be interesting to them because, again, it's going to affect them. And wildly different views. I've said it before, when, you know, the young people's view is definitely more global. And they've grown up with technology and instant information, et cetera, et cetera. And they're smart. They're smart. So I hope they're engaged. Teachers say they're more engaged that this past election that kids in middle school were talking about it. So we'll see how it plays out. I love the fact that young people are smart and political. I just hope they're not angry. Listen, I'm angry. I'm an old cynic. I've given up. You're 14. Don't give up yet. At least wait. At least wait till 17. Yeah, at least wait till you can see it before you give up on the system. But at 14, maintain some of that idealism. Good luck, kids. And on the topic of Trump news and how it affects, how everyone's talking about it, Stephen Colbert passed Jimmy Fallon in the late night wars because Colbert's show is more politically engaged than Fallon's show. Fallon's show is still fun. Fallon does some politics, but Fallon does it all funny. And Colbert goes after the Trump administration constantly. So I guess people are watching. I guess people, it does matter. I don't know. I say that too often. I don't know. Maybe I do know. It's my podcast. I know. Because it's my podcast, so I'm right. Preet Bharara, and I may be pronouncing that name wrong, was dismissed as the U.S. attorney in Southern New York. He was the last of the Barack Obama appointed U.S. attorneys. Why is it interesting? First of all, it's normal when a new administration comes in to dismiss all the attorneys that were appointed by the previous administration. The reason this is, shall we say, interesting is because this man's jurisdiction is Southern New York, which happens to be home of the Trump machine, Trump Towers, Trump Enterprises, whatever, Trump University, all that stuff is based out of Southern New York. So he says, apparently what happened, and believe me, I love the fact that this story's been all over Twitter. Like, that's news now. You forget the news. Just go to Twitter and find out who's saying what. So he tweeted that I did not resign. I was fired. And normally they ask for the resignation from these guys and women, and you know, and they resign and they leave. He wasn't resigning. So he had the ability to investigate Donald Trump, the conflicts of interest with Donald Trump's business and now political power, et cetera, et cetera. In November, Trump met with this guy and asked him to continue in his role. And when this story broke and all went crazy, Trump broke protocol and attempted to call this guy, like to call, phone him directly, which why would you do that? Just DM him on Twitter. Come on, Donald, be consistent, for God's sake. Just send a DM. But anyway, this is why it's a controversy now. Elizabeth Warren tweeted to Donald Trump, "You talked a big game about getting corruption out of government, but now he wants a bunch of tame prosecutors who won't investigate him." She also tweeted, "Weeks ago, Donald Trump promised to keep Preet Bharara as top federal prosecutor in Manhattan. Yesterday, Preet was fired." You know, bad timing. You know, it's normal, right, to get rid of the prosecutors from the previous administration. It's normal to get rid of a prosecutor who can investigate your ass. Believe me, if Hillary Clinton if Senator Hillary Clinton could have got rid of some of the Benghazi people, they'd have been gone. But anyway, and also, you know, Putin probably told Trump, like, hey, when you're in charge, you get rid of anyone who can investigate you, you know, because he's learning. He's still learning. Poorly done. Evil. I don't know. It's normal. When Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor in California, one of the first things he did was he agreed to not waste money investigating himself for sexual harassment. It's what they do. This is normal. It's not right. It's not ethical. It's normal. So I don't know what to say about this other than that. See, this is my cynicism. This is where I've given up. I'm not surprised. You know, Trump's not going to be investigated for conflicts of interest. You know, this thing now that his son's saying that who's taken over running all of his businesses, right? Businesses, if you're president, normally would be put into a blind trust, meaning that you don't know the person who's running your personal business interest. To Donald Trump, a blind trust means, well, I'll let my son run it. And as far as you know, I never talk to him. It's how things are done now. We're in a different reality. So, you know, Mr. Bharara, great U.S. attorney, could have investigated. That never was going to happen. And now he's fired. I wonder if he gets to keep his health insurance. I wonder if any of us are going to get to keep our health insurance. That's a story for another podcast. Okay, I said I was going to talk about race. And by the way, I'm a racist guy. I'm another racist guy. I like that. This happened on YouTube. I saw it. Somebody who watched my special, which shouldn't even be up on YouTube, but people post it and then you try to take it down. It goes back up. Whole outside separate issue. So this guy said that I'm racist because I point out racism. That I love how that works. Like, if you point out something racist, then you're the racist. So guilty as charged. So I'm going to go ahead and throw this next story under, as reported by Captain Obvious. A new study claims that black people who are convicted of murder or sexual assault are more likely than white people to be later exonerated of those crimes. Okay, so black people are more often wrongfully convicted. The study was based on 2,000 acquittals over the past 30 years, and it was done by the National Registry of Exonerations. I didn't know we had a National Registry of Exonerations. I'm guessing it's not an official federal department. It goes on to talk about, you know, I could bore you with all the statistics, but it says that, another thing, innocent black people also had to wait longer for their names to be cleared than innocent white people. They spent an average of 3 more years in prison before being released. That's a long time. Bad enough you're in prison for a crime you didn't commit. And obviously, we've moved forward in areas like DNA testing, et cetera. So a lot of people have been found innocent who were initially proven guilty. And some of the reasons were that, you know, a lot more misidentified people, black people misidentified by witnesses. Sorry, I'm just looking for the number. 70% of time, whereas white people misidentified by witnesses 51% of the time. Wow, I'm sorry. Eyewitness errors 79% of sexual assault cases for wrongfully committed black people were misidentified by witnesses versus 51% for exonerated white. Wow, 79% to 51%. Either way, that's bad. They say that eyewitnesses aren't the best testimony. I guess that's true. So, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? This is another thing. And then the article says, and I know you're going to be surprised, that race plays into this. There are other things that play into it, but yeah, race is a big one. And this whole thing of black people murdering white people, yeah, only 15% of murders committed by black people are white victims. The reason Latinos and other groups are not factored in is because there weren't enough to be statistically evident in this study. In other words, there weren't enough to exonerate it to make a difference in this. So anyway, what is the message here? If your ass is young and black, be careful. Just watch yourself. We're getting better. The fact that these people are getting exonerated, that they are getting out, means that at least we're getting better at it. But still, that's the one that blows me away. After you're exonerated, having to stay in jail 3 years longer. Damn, that's a long time. Ooh. 3 years is a long time, even if you are guilty. All right, I'm going to move on, get away from that. Let's talk movies. Boy, I was wrong on my prediction there. The number one movie of the weekend, King Kong with Samuel L. Jackson. So I guess we wanted to see Sam versus an ape. Probably a good movie, probably a lot of fun. Get Out is the big breakout hit. $4 million or $5 million to make, just past $100 million. It's supposed to be a great movie. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment on it. But you know what the story is. It's a black guy goes home with his white girlfriend and encounters some racism. It's supposed to be really good. So, yeah, man, did I miss on King Kong. I read and heard an interesting interview with Samuel L. Jackson. Man, he's coming up a lot lately. But he talked about the movie Get Out and said the lead actor, the black guy, is a British actor. And he said if it had been an American actor with our history and dealing with racism, it might have been a completely different movie. Meaning, and he said the British, you know, have had interracial dating for, you know, it's not even an issue over there. Sure, it is for some people, but I don't know. Might have been an angrier movie. But anyway, it's supposed to be great. So go get out and see it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it this week. Speaking of predictions, it is tournament time. Simply the best thing in sports is still the NCAA tournament, the men's college basketball tournament. It's all on the line. Every game counts. You lose once and you're out. Top seeds: Gonzaga, North Carolina, Kansas, and, let me find my fourth one. I'm looking at my bracket right now. Oh, I'm sorry, Villanova. So I'm pulling for North Carolina. I've been a Tar Heel fan for a long time. My favorite team is North Carolina. My second favorite team is anyone but Duke. Just got to give a shout out to Kansas for my friend Michelle up in Seattle. Kansas got a good shot. This tournament's wide open. There's a lot of teams that could win. That number two spot, the number two seed, is always risky because you always have that 15 that comes in and beats a two. So fill out your bracket, enter in the contest. You might win, I think it's $1 billion. I think Warren Buffett every year puts up $1 billion if anyone gets it 100% right. No one's won it yet, but how great would that be? Win $1 billion, and then you know what you'd get? Healthcare. Yeah, how about that? So, again, just an incredibly great event. It's going to be a lot of basketball. This is a great time for sports. I love March sports because the NBA is heating up heading into the playoffs. You've got the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which is phenomenal. Baseball is in spring training. Speaking of which, Tim Tebow is with the Mets and he can't hit. You imagine that? Tim Tebow can't hit a major league pitch. Who would have thought? Well, he's gotten some money out of the Jets. He's getting some money out of the Mets. Can the New York Knicks be far behind? How long before Tim Tebow is just, they give him a shot as like a small power forward, you know, short but wide power forward with the Knicks. What the hell? And it's the Knicks. So they actually couldn't be any worse. So go ahead, sign him. What the hell? Give a man a shot. Again, in the NCAA tournament, UCLA has a chance. Oregon has a great chance. Arizona has a great chance. There's just so many teams that are good here. Kentucky, of course, has a great chance. Another shout out to the University of Vermont. When I was in Burlington last week, they told me how good they were. Vermont beat Albany, and they are in the tournament. And man, I thought it was cold when I was there. They're predicting like a blizzard today in the Northeast. Yeah, you guys thought you beat winter, but it's going to be chilly. I wish you the best. There was pictures on the internet. Look up the ice house in Webster, New York. It's completely frozen, completely covered with ice that came off of Lake Ontario. Man, they're going to have trouble with that house when it thaws out. I don't know if your insurance covers that. Your insurance covers fire. Does your insurance cover ice? I don't know. I guess they're going to find out. So, what else is going on in my category of random weird stuff? I was flying to Chicago Thursday, stuck in traffic in L.A. I know you find that hard to believe. I love L.A. traffic because it's so random. So 1 o'clock on Thursday, everyone on the 405 said, you know what? Let's just slow down. And what it was, there was an RV stuck in a lane. Very weird thing. But anyway, I'm heading to the airport. For some reason, I couldn't check in advance. I tried on the United app, and it came up a message checking at the airport. Now, this is hours before the flight. So now it's getting close, and I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. So I call them, and I said, you know, to whoever answered, the representative who answered the phone, I said, listen, I'm on my way to the airport. I couldn't check in online. Can you check me in? And they're like, yeah, we can do it over the phone. We'll email you your boarding pass, blah, blah, blah. So she checks me in, sends a boarding pass. Now, it's getting close. It looks like I'm going to make the flight. She said, don't worry if you don't make the flight. They call it the flat tire rule, meaning if you have a flat tire on the way to the airport, there are two more flights that day. You can get on one of the other flights, stand by for free. Isn't that nice of them that they're going to let me get into an empty seat on a later flight for free? But anyway, it's good to know. So I'm jamming to the airport. Can't do my usual off-airport parking. Got to park at the airport. As anyone who travels knows, they rip you off. Costs a fortune, but you do what you got to do. I park at the airport. I jam across the street. Not running, but it's close. I got about 40 minutes, maybe 50 minutes before the flight. So you got to board. You know, they're already boarding when I'm parking. It's that kind of vibe. Get there. Get through security. Get to the gate. Flight's been delayed 2 hours. Why couldn't she tell me that on the phone? See, here's the thing. It wasn't just delayed. Like, they knew. It had been delayed. They posted that way in advance. And you know, airline service, I talk about it all the time. It's amazing. So when she went to check me in, how do they not have some screen saying, oh, the flight's delayed? And how can she can't just say, yeah, don't worry about getting to the airport on time. The flight's late. That would be easy. That would be, I guess that would be service. Too much like right. So just another adventure, just another problem dealing with these airlines. And I ask again, does anyone treat their customers worse than airlines? I've still yet to find anyone who provides worse customer service than airlines. Then you put it on Twitter. Then whoever answers that Twitter says, is there any way I can help you? Yeah, you can move time back. I don't know. Ugh. I got crickets in my house. It happens periodically. I'll get a cricket in here making a noise. Here's the thing, cricket. It's warm outside. It's a beautiful California spring. It's 80 degrees out. Go outside. You don't want to be inside. You're a cricket. Jiminy crickets. I don't think I'm allowed to say that on the podcast. I probably have to pay Disney something. That's it for me. I thank you for listening to the podcast. I apologize to you if you don't want me to mention Donald Trump. It's really going to be hard to not mention him, but I'm trying to cut back. I'm trying to cut back. It's like cigarettes or heroin. I'm trying to cut back. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Club dates will pick up again in April. And right now, I'm just doing some local stuff. I'll be at the Laugh Factory. I'll be at the Improv. I'm doing a few local shows. And I'm doing a corporate show in Kansas City at the end of the month. So I had to cancel Baltimore. Sorry about that, Baltimore. I will get there. Don't tell Omar. I don't want no trouble. This is Alonzo asking who's paying attention. You are. Turn off the news. Turn on the NCAA tournament and enjoy this weekend.